Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these moments that we come together as a church. Lord, I pray that you would bless these words. Speak through me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the scripture was read, you know this familiar story that Jesus is talking about the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. And I titled my sermon, Jesus and Nick. You know, the 21st century, we Americans try to shorten all our names, even my name, Abel. They call me Abe. I mean, it's only four letters, but still, we like short names. And here is Nick and Jesus. Nick is a teacher. More than a teacher, he is a professor, a philosopher. He's part of the Sanhedrin. He is one of the higher learned persons in the community. If anyone knew the truth about God and God's people, surely Nick would be the man. If you went to him, I'm sure he would answer. He would know the law. He would tell you the commandments and how to live by it. So giving you a little background about Nicodemus. This person comes to Jesus. Now, theologians think he is mid-age. He comes to Jesus saying, Master, I've kept the law. I know the rules. I know the traditions. But there is something missing in my life. There's something missing in my life. Tell me what else I must do to fill that void. Think about it. Is it possible for a religious, such a scholar, to have something missing in his life? And he comes by night so that nobody would see him, that he would not be recognized. You know, such a learned person, you wouldn't find him come to Jesus and ask a stupid question as such, would you? So he comes by night. And you could see the desperation. He is lacking something and wants to find out from Jesus. What can he do? What can he receive? Is there something more? Isn't that something we all crave for? It's a human craving, isn't it? We do feel sometimes there's something lacking, a missing link in our life, and we search and search and search. And here he is, coming to the right place, asking Jesus. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born anew. Nicodemus, he goes on to say, unless you have been born again, in verse 3, you do not have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about. Born anew, born again. I know that term has been used so much, and we kind of close our ears if we hear that word. But what is Jesus talking about? What is he saying to us? Nicodemus' question is one of our own, isn't it? We look at verse 5. Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh. So what Jesus is talking about, the water, this is not referring to baptism here. It's referring to the human birth, the womb, the water that we are surrounded in. Because Jesus goes on in the next verse, born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he's distinguishing two different births there. Born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. And then he summarizes it by saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, that's the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? So let's pause for a moment and see where Jesus is talking about this new birth. You would remember, as we've talked about John Wesley so much, being United Methodists, John Wesley was already 35 years old when he brought himself into contact with the Moravian missionaries in London. Many years earlier, he had finished his studies. He had long ago learned history, philosophy, and many languages. And he had been an ordained priest in early years. But now, at age 35, he discovers the spirit being strangely warmed. And to give you a little background, again, you know, John Wesley comes to the United States as a missionary, and then he returns back to England. He's in a ship. He's traveling back, and there is a great storm. And the ship is having a hard time. People were afraid that they're going to drown, capsize. And John Wesley is so panic-stricken. Of course, you and I would be the same way. And suddenly he sees a group of people, the Moravian Christians. He finds out later, they are singing and they are enjoying. They are worshiping. There was no panic seen in them, even children. And of course, they get through the storm. And John Wesley is so intrigued. You know, here is himself, middle-aged person who is an ordained minister, is so afraid of the storm and what could happen. And here are these persons singing and praising the Lord in the midst of a storm. And he finally approaches them and finds out of their peace, finds out that they trusted the Lord, because they knew where they were going. And it started in John Wesley to figure this out. And then he has this experience where his heart is strangely warmed. My friends, we don't have to be young or middle-aged or older age, but it could happen to any of us when we open our lives to the Lord and experience God's Holy Spirit being born anew, being transformed, and open to the Spirit of God. God has created us to be more than creatures of this earth. God has breathed into us the spirit that hungers to be part of the spiritual world. You know, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, these are the means of grace, and it is hard for us to understand I know even adults, even clergy, even we have a hard time understanding the Last Supper, the mystery, the Trinity. It is mystery, isn't it? Like the wind that blows through the trees. We don't understand the wind, where it comes from, where it goes. But we feel it. We know it. It's there. Here is a professor of a seminary, Emory University, explains conversion. Conversion means accepting at a depth of the heart that is truly liberating, that our worth, our value, our grounding as children of God is given as a birthright. It means embracing the conviction that we are known, loved, supported, and invited to partnership with being with one, with God, who from all eternity intended us and who desires our love and friendship. And he says conversion means a recentering of our passion, realigning of our affections, the restructuring of our virtues. Conversion is not so much a negation of our human development as it is a transformation and fulfillment. Let me explain. You know the story of Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 25. Remember Esau sold his birthright? You know, these are the twins, and Esau was the older one. And if you look in Genesis 25, verse 34, it says, Esau despised his birthright. You know, he sells his birthright for a bowl of soup. Jacob, on the other hand, claimed it, and he received the inheritance. You know, you've heard this story. And I've always felt so sorry for Esau. You know, he was hungry. But do you need to sell your birthright? You know, the temptations of this world. I mean, he gives up his birthright. And the scripture says, Esau despised his birthright. Jacob claimed it and received the inheritance. My friends, we are born as Christians. You know, we claim we are baptized as Christians, a birthright. Do we despise our birthright? Have we given up? Or have we claimed it? Have we received that inheritance that Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary to free us, to give us that transformation, to empower us with His Holy Spirit, and for us to experience that transformation in our lives? It is a free gift, isn't it? But have we received it? Have we experienced it? And that is what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus, yes, my brother, you have great knowledge of the law. You know what it is. But have you experienced the story? Kind of ends there, doesn't it? But it really does not. There are a couple of passages of scripture. Look at John 7:50. Okay, John chapter 7, verse 50. Nicodemus defended Jesus before the fellow Pharisees. Nicodemus stands up for Jesus. It was a bold stand taken in the beginning of the plot to have Jesus arrested. And later, as the body of Jesus is removed from the cross, you know, after his death, it is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who cared for the burial in John chapter 19, verse 39. It says, Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, it's referring to this passage that we're talking about, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen clothes, according to the burial customs of the Jews. Yes, this Nicodemus, the same man that walks away but took it to heart, had an experience in his spirit, was born again, stood up for Jesus in court, and then finally comes to help bury him. Wow. My friends, he did not just walk away. He responded to God's call. To God's call in his life. You know, this learned man, he knew the law. He knew everything. He was well-to-do. He was a professor of philosophy and religion. But he had to let go. He had to cry out to the Lord. He had to come to grips in his spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit. And God touched his life. Nicodemus, I'm sure, understood the cross, the forgiveness, as it happened, and became a believer. My friends, this morning, I ask you the same question. Is there a missing link in your life? Is there something missing? You've searched, you've tried, you've done everything. But is there a vacuum? Is there something missing? You go to church, you serve on committees, you are so active, but there is something missing. Is there? Well, just let it go. Let it go. Invite the Holy Spirit. Let him minister to you. Let him show what's not right. Let him put it together that you can be a reflection of God's love. You can receive what Christ wants for you, a purpose in your life with that love, joy, peace, and hope of eternal life. So this morning I want you to take a few moments. I know John Wesley wrote this heartwarming experience in his journal. I mean, he didn't come out and say it. You know, and some of us wouldn't want to stand up and walk up here and, you know, do all that kind of stuff, but you could do it in your pews. You could be seated and you could connect with our Lord. And maybe someday you could write it in your journal where someone could read and be inspired. Open your hearts, open your spirit. Let God minister to you. You know, let the Lord forgive you. Ask for His forgiveness. Tell Him how you feel. I mean, ask Him those questions. Lord, you know, I am not content with my life. Tell me. He will talk to you. He will minister to your needs. Receive that power of the Holy Spirit that's available to you. And let the Lord minister and fill your hearts with their joy, love, and peace and hope. Gracious Lord, we come to you this morning. Father, I pray that as we hear about Nick, Lord, we do too. We have those questions in our hearts. We struggle with those issues, the missing link. Lord, we crave for that peace, that contentment in our hearts and our souls. And Lord, we long. We have searched all over the place. We have studied. We know your law. We have served in every capacity. But Lord, we still lack something. And Lord, I pray that we will open our hearts this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to us, that we will give up trying to find, but Lord, give it up to you, knowing that you can fill that vacuum. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus. And Lord, we know that it is through you that we can receive that peace, that love, that joy, that hope, that missing link that we have been all struggling to find, to connect us, Lord, to the purpose of our lives that you have so put in us as you created us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would touch each person here this morning with your love and help them, Lord, to receive your free gift into their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.